Right.
It is 10:01 and we're recording.
Oh, I'm running this meeting today.
Yes, you are.
What do I do with that? I'll give it back in a second. This is the July 9th meeting of the Finance Committee. Director Bill Gear and myself, John Merchant, are present. We will call the meeting to order. Comments from the public, seeing no public, we will move on to item three, which is an information item, which is the audit update.
All right.
Cecilia.
Yes. Okay, so the audits for the 2 years. Start at May 18, 2026. And since then, the staff has already completed the two items left last Finance Committee, which are the budget versus actual and financial statement. So the audits are expected to be done in 3 months. I checked in with the auditors. And you can see that there's an email from Ingrid, which you all have met last year. She's the audit partner. She's highlighting to me that if I meet her demand by Friday, which I am on target,
tomorrow,
if I give her everything by tomorrow, she'll have a financial statement, a draft financial statement to us by the 18th, by the 14th. So most likely that month, we probably need to have a special meeting to just review that and then roll into the audits. Not the audit, the board meeting. So we have to schedule for that. So the table down below shows you that the pink table, if you can scroll up a little bit, that the two items that we're working on is the field work, lots of questions, and also preparing the financial statement, which we're 95% done. If you can go up one slide. So as of this point, everything is check off. The things that we were working on is budget versus actual, which you see the results at the end of this presentation. The audit 24-25, I put it there that we are starting mid-July, but we actually started the audit preparation for 24-25 this week. So we're wrapping up. But
you've already, where are you with 24-25?
We're starting with fixed asset first.
Okay.
Fixed asset is, we had a significant deficiency or material weaknesses that we have not recorded all the donated infrastructure since 2007. So, Emily will help me to find all those data, and I'm hoping that I can get it in, but usually it takes like 2 months to finish the fixed asset.
Okay.
So that's where we're at. Any questions before I move to the current financial statement? Any questions?
No.
Okay, so we're going to be looking at July to May 2026. The last financial issue to you guys was February, and so I am issuing all 3 months, March, April, and June. All right, so July to May. Again, this is a preliminary financial. I still have to go back and redo the bank reconciliation and the balance sheets reconciliation. So these numbers are subject to change. And I can't do the bank rec until fiscal year 24-25. It's substantially done because it's in the software.
You need an opening balance, yeah.
Yeah, I need that. But the system doesn't allow you to go back and forth also for bank reconciliation. So this statement represents the first 11 months of the fiscal year 25-26. And the expense target as a percentage of budget should be at 92%. That's your benchmark. I also provided the monthly statement of revenue and expenses. The monthly statement is not very consistent in coding. Normally, you want to see the expenses hit all the month, but it's not like that because in July when I started, there were a lot of problems with AP, right? They enter things based on cash basis. They enter things late invoices. So you're not going to see the consistency in it, and you will always see that there's a big negative in 1 month because we're trying to correct the coding. So be mindful that it's misleading, but it's because of those. So overall, if you look at that box, the operating revenue is 8.5 million compared to 9.6 million. The target is 92 and we're at 89, okay? And total expenses, operating expenses, it's at 6.4 million compared to a budget of 6.8. It's at 93% of the budget. Our target is 92. Total G&A cost is at 2.8 million compared to the budget of 2.6 million. We're at 108% versus 92. The total expenses for this organization is 9.3 million compared to 9.5 annual budgets. We're at 97% overall. Operation income and loss, it's a negative 772 compared to the annual budget of 34,000. So we have a loss of 772 just on the operation. If you look at the property tax, which is 965, which is right underneath the 772, we're kind of, again, using the operating reserve, which is property tax, to cover the loss. So that's the operation in a higher level. Any question before I talk about that?
I'm just looking at that, and I'm assuming then that we've essentially chewed up, for mm-hmm. lack of a better word, all of the property tax allocation mm-hmm. to cover operating expenses. So the net of that would be that we've essentially made no reserve contribution
yes.
at all?
Yeah. Well, I still have June. I don't know where are we with June.
Congratulations.
But we have already, I think we have received most of the property tax already. We might have one more coming in August, which I'll put back in this year, but I think that's about 20K, not a lot. Okay? It's been like that for the past few years, you know. Now, if you have no further question, I'm going to talk about a non-operation activity. We have a reserve revenue. These are capital improvement, capital replacement reserve, and water augmentation from the developer and all that. Those reserve, we budget for 1.8 million. We're at 1.6 million, kind of right on target. Developer income and expenses, that's a net of 3.3, which is the Riverview donated infrastructure. So that's not budgeted at all, you know. So overall, our net income and loss is at 5.1 million compared to a budget of 2.8. But if you take the 5 million minus the
the 3 million three,
you know, we're at 1.7 million, you know, income, which is entirely the reserve contributions. Compared to a budget of 2.8 million, we're at 62%.
So I want to say this, and then just to make sure, then you can tell me whether I'm understanding. So we make, and I don't know what they were. We make a 218, Prop 218 allocation to water and sewer.
That's right.
And
so for the period.
If I'm remembering these numbers, were they $32 a piece?
No, for the period ending June 30th, 2026, it was $16, and then we went up $5.
Okay, so it wasn't 32; it was half that. It was 16.
Each,
okay,
right.
Okay.
Yes.
So if you, and I don't want to do this now, but I'm just trying it in my head, if you extrapolate that number out times the, you know,
3,000 times 12.
Yeah, I'm trying to see if we have retained that amount of restricted revenue, or did we eat into it, is what I'm asking.
Yeah. No, according to the operation, I cannot eat into it because it's two separate funding.
Okay, so
that's why I always put those reserve under non-operation activity.
Yeah.
They don't touch. They cannot be touched because it's reserved,
yeah,
restricted.
So where we've taken assets from developers, if then you're getting an equated number. Total reserve revenue is kind of like okay in itself, because the developer income and expenses, which is just the booked asset, is really funny money. Okay.
Yeah, it's just the book income. That's why I put it in other non-operation,
okay,
and you cannot budget for it.
Yeah, it's great if you're selling stock, but you can't eat it.
It actually, once it's on our book, we have to repair and maintenance it.
Yeah, that's right. We have to. Yeah.
Right. 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 And it's
depreciated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's
okay.
It. So I'm going to go into the detail, if you can roll into the financial statement itself. Keep going. So if you can move to the furthest column where you see all the percentage of budgets. So I'm going to go through just the revenue first. If you can kind of blow it up, is it possible to blow it up? If not, that's fine. We're just going to concentrate on the total column, annual budget, and the percentage of budgets. Perfect, thank you. So all those highlighted in red, I have detailed analysis on the notes, but I'm going to go through them. So for operating revenue as a whole, we're at 89%, which is below the target benchmark of 92%. And for residential fee, we are at 88%, and we're kind of below the target. And the reason why is when we did the budget, we used the number of connections instead of number of invoices, which kind of overstated the revenue.
Really?
Yeah.
Yep. Wait, but so you said you used the number of connections, so you assigned a dollar amount to each connection?
Yeah. The number, when I got here, I was, you know, the first month pull into doing the budgets, and somebody told me that it's 297, so I put that in, you know, not knowing that.
So we need a campaign to get people to use more water?
that has been a 30-year ongoing problem, that, you know, the better we do, the worse we do.
Well, until we have tiered rates, yeah.
Yep, so perfect. Now, the next red highlighted item are the investment earning and interest income. Those were budgeted very conservatively by Mark. And so now the outcome is we have more. But this is also the portion that only attributed to the unreserved income. I already allocated the restricted interest earning down below into the reserve contribution. So overall, we're running a little bit behind, but the interest income helped a little bit. Overall, we're at 89%. Now let's get to the expenses for operation expenses. Can I see the total line, please? And then you can, yeah. Okay, so total operating expenses was at 93%, slightly higher than target of 92. It's okay now. If you can go back up to the first line of salary and wages. So this detailed analysis, you have to look at it with both monthly financial and also the budget versus actual. The first line, can I see the percentage at the back end? Okay, so the first line item that's highlighted in red, it's the salary and wages. Was at 84%, which is below the target of 92. The director of operation position remained vacant for several months, and there were multiple security team positions were not filled during this period. In February, salary adjustment was adjustment were implemented for security supervisor to align compensation with updated job description. So there's the increase. And an additional security officer was hired in February as well. Following salary survey conducted in April and May, retro payroll adjustment were applied to all the unrepresented employee. These factors contributed to increase in wages expenses in the last 3 months. So benefit, it's a mystery. I don't know. We're at 48% budgeted, but the budgeted amount, it's a lot higher. So I'm not sure how, you know, how Mark did the budgets. Capacity, utility, which is also highlighted as the third line. Utility expenses were split between operation and G&A. However, 99.8% of the budget was put against capacity purchase. So capacity purchase is something that we don't usually touch, because if we have a drought and we need more water, then Travis will pull the pump and trigger a higher bill, which is about $10,000 per pool.
Right.
And so that's capacity purchase. We should never have budgeted in there or anything. But I think in the past, utility has always been put against this code.
So wait a minute. I mean, I'm having trouble. Where is that line? So we actually budgeted for those big one-time $10,000 expenses?
We didn't, but it's just traditionally utility expenses also was parked in that GL code.
Yeah, we had to disconnect those pumps.
I did. Disconnect the pump?
We've historically run them, okay, but we've run them for which they were intended only once. Recovering out of the 2014 drought, which is where we found out that we can't afford to run them.
Yeah.
To my knowledge, we've done it once.
Yeah.
So, we're not budgeted next year for that, are we?
No, I pulled capacity purchase as zero budgets. And then utility is utility.
Yeah.
Which is
what it should be. Tell me again which line the emergency pump electrical is on.
It's on the third run, the third highlighted red line.
Highlighted red line? I don't have any highlighted red lines.
Is it the third? The third. So if you, Diane, can you show the description of each of the line? The fourth line. Capacity purchase?
Oh, capacity purchase. Okay,
right.
I'm with you.
Yep, so if we combine capacity purchase with both utility accounts down in G&A, we're still at 116% over budgets. So this is another line item that we have under budgeted. Tools and supplies, we're at 134% annual budget, so benchmark again is 92. This is the monthly bulk purchases as well as several smaller purchases, but this is kind of tied to the repair and maintenance that we've all done.
Are we talking about the Vector trucks? Or?
Yeah.
Well, in my detailed analysis under repair and maintenance right now, layout in July, we have the lift repair for $30K. We have annual services of gas feeder for $11K. We have a rehab Alameda CIP project. In August, we have asphalt patch repair, and this is the labor part. When you buy the asphalt and other equipment, it goes into tools and supplies. So all these repairs are over budget. As a result, tools and supplies will be naturally over budget as well.
So getting away from the numbers a little bit and looking at process, you know, tools and supplies are kind of a discretionary purchase in some regard. I mean, there might be some day when you have to go buy a certain wrench, but if you're buying tools, that's something you can plan for. And my question is, in an accounting standpoint, when we have things come to the board or when the department heads are doing things, is there someone in your department who makes sure that we have a budgeted amount that they can spend from? Because
mm-hmm.
I don't always see that saying.
Well,
the question is, where's our financial discipline and why are we going over?
Well, the problem with this particular budget is repair and maintenance emergency one, but they were never budgeted.
So they didn't budget for emergencies. Mm-hmm.
And they have to come to the board for ask for. So in this budget that I just did, yeah. fiscal year 25-26, we put in a chunk of emergency repairs. And in the future, when we do a proper CIIP project, they will recommend a repair maintenance based on our aging system. Then I will have a benchmark to say, this is what the staff said, this is what the CIIP people said, how much should we be budgeted? And I look back in all the financial in fiscal year 23 and 24, repair and maintenance is always over, and it's because we never budget for emergency.
Okay.
So in my analysis, you was under repair and maintenance, there were a lot of things that we didn't know will happen, like the November repairs for the lift station. In November, we have a big flooding event that's not budgeted, but it happens all the time. So we should have budgeted for it. In January, we have a generator rental because the generator did not work and we have to fix something. That's another emergency. There's a 6B flooding in December.
Yeah.
But those should be anticipated, you know, but I don't think that was ever budgeted in the past.
No, and we, you know, just in the conversations with Travis, for example, we've kind of operated with an understanding that we have one of those events a year, and now this year we've had five.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, my personal opinion is that we're the one a year thing is long gone.
No, five is a low number.
Stuff's breaking.
Which is why I push so hard to get a Vector. Yeah, you know, I mean, we can't be paying up $10,000 a gallon fines. Okay.
A gallon a day.
A gallon a day doesn't matter, does it?
It's too much money.
Yeah. It's way more than our budget for pizza.
Exactly.
Pizza. So, in my past, when we are doing the normal finances, I issue financial statement by department to everybody. They are held to make sure that they are adhering to the budget, not in here. But soon, you already see the financial statement. I've now gone down and do departmental financial statement. Soon, we'll be giving out these financial statement, and they will be responsible to make sure they adhere to it. And if it's not, then, you know, repair and maintenance, I list out a big list because this is my record. And then going forward, if there are five in here and next year is 10, we know that we need to budget for 10 repair emergency.
Right.
So it's a learning process. But yeah, I mean, I heard that drainage has another problem too in June. So I'm not in June yet.
Well, we have problems, but we're trying to get other people to pay for it. It's the ones I'm talking about.
Yeah, so let's continue.
Okay.
Training and seminar, we're at 629 annual budgets. I think plainly just not, we're under budget in that, in that budgets.
For training and seminars?
Mm-hmm.
Why does it say 629?
629, I can't see. Thank you, Diane. She highlighted for me.
Here we go.
Thank you.
Ow.
So,
yeah.
Yep. So next item is contractual services. Stop me if you wanna go back and talk about that. We're 100% annual budget now of the 1.8 million, yes.
Okay, well you said stop me if you have a question, I do.
Okay.
wait a minute, travel and mileage and membership and subscriptions. What's our policy? Training events are important and conferences are important. Amelia, you just got back from Newport Beach. I went to Monterey.
Yeah, we have a policy around how much we can spend, like for the meals, per diem.
I mean,
And that's being updated in the policy manual.
Do we think that, each department head should go to one a year? Board directors, except for John, should be able to go to one or two
a year? One a year, I think so, yeah.
Do we have that sort of a thing written down?
Oh, a training schedule? No.
Just a ballpark allocation of funds. I mean, what if I wanted to go to three conferences in June that, they're all in Hawaii,
I need to go to those too. Yeah.
Diane's like,
I think in light of the political outlook for November, and in light of the grand jury's comments, in and around this kind of thing, we can assume that we're going to have a lot more training and we're going to have to do a Brown Act seminar for new folks.
Yep.
We're going to have to get people through the certification process.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I would bring up in a strategic plan, for example, going forward is I think, we had, when I was the president of the board in 2005 and six, we had all five members were certified in all three of the courses that are part of the leadership program.
Okay.
Oh, I'm not on. Okay.
But I thought you did put in.
But the good news is we budget for it.
Yeah.
We budget for it. Next fiscal year with all the new directions, training, and all that.
Good. Yeah, we did. Okay. We did. Yeah. And my training that I just got back from, I was able to get a scholarship for my tuition.
You went now?
I got a scholarship for my tuition.
From who?
From SDRA.
Really?
So, yeah, they gave me the $900 that it cost for the conference cost, which I gave to Beverly, and she's, I would imagine, already deposited.
Took one look at our financials, and they gave her a scholarship.
Do you have to have certain GPA to get that?
Yeah. No. All I have to say is Rancho Murrieta and all these organizations say, we have a spot for you. You need help.
So we need to ask for that,
yeah.
Because
I
think we only budget for one training per one new director, and we estimate there will be four, I think. So
there could be four.
Yeah, that seems like what we put in the budget, exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So can we move to contractual services?
Keep going.
Contractual services, 100% of the annual budget as of May. Of the $1.8 million expense, $1.4 belongs to California Waste System. So we pay about $127 per month with Cal Waste. And then the rest of it is $257 with Don Machilli. This is the one that I need to...
How much?
$257.
With Tamara Kelly?
Yeah. This is the part that I need to review each invoice and put it back into the developer.
Okay.
E-consulting. That's
so where's Patrick on here?
Patrick's in legal.
I mean, but he is a contractual service. It's almost like
he's in legal service. His is coded to legal services.
It almost seems like contractual services is too big a bucket. Because, you look at it, you're like, we're spending how much? It's $1.8 million almost. I mean, it's like, because the waste thing, that's a fixed expense, but the other things, and Patrick is a known expense, which is outrageously high. Mm-hmm. But does contractual services also cover the people who do something for $20,000 here and $30,000 there?
So again, what I wanted to say, the 257, I still have to review all the invoices from July to now and reclass them back into non-operating expenses, because those are regarding the developer inspection fee, engineering fee, that we should be collecting a fee from our developer to cover these expenses. I have not done that. So the rest of it, I just found out that Wagner, whatever consulting civil engineering, it's actually water study, so I need to move that down to.
Who is it?
Is it Wagner and
Bonsignera?
Yeah. So they're
Bonsignere, Wagner, not Wagner. There is a Wagner, and he is water, but he's much earlier in time.
But where?
Wagner
and Bonsignere was the law firm that we have traditionally used rarely, but when we had questions about water rights.
Yep.
They had a consultant as part of that firm called, name was Ryan Stolfus,
mm-hmm.
Who was brought in by Fritchie to explain to the public why it was no problem to use Lake Clementia.
until he met with Janice and I, and then he changed his mind.
So what is our accounting procedure for billing developers?
As of now, none, because I'm going back to have to find out how much we have incurred since 2023.
Yeah.
And then I can bill them. But technically, remember this July to October, I just got here at that time. I didn't really know my left hand and right hand. But
I know
that's something that I need to go back into the contractual services and plow through every single thing and move them to the right spot. Have not done that yet.
Yeah. So, that needs to not fall below the radar. We need to, and I know you've got 100 things to do, Cecilia, but, you know, at some point in the very near future, we need to have an itemized bill from both engineering and legal that we present to people who owe us money. Because it's a hell of a lot more than, you know, some lady on the south who's 3 months behind on our water bill who we're jamming.
Yeah. That's part of when we did the audit for 23-24, we looked at exactly the same process and book it back into each of the projects that we have with the developer. And it's a running balance. So some we still have money, some we don't. We have to go back and ask. And then we have confusion because the name change all the time from one developer to the next.
Sure.
There are like three or four accounts that are named for the same project, but it's different people. So
and the project owes us the money. I think, without looking into it, we have a legal obligation to collect this money. Otherwise, it's a gift of public funds is the word that everybody uses. So we need to...
Right, because
I'm surprised this didn't make the grand jury this year. It's like...
Because then the rate payers are paying...
Now it will be. Now it will be because it's now public record.
Well, I know, Cecilia, you're a hardworking lady. I get it. Everybody here is. But we need to have this as... Because it's a huge amount of money for Joe and for Patrick. And even for you three, you guys should be billing too,
Yep, in time. I'm still, again, I want to do a disclaimer. Every day that I'm here for the past 1 year, or is it 1 year yet? Kind of.
Almost.
90% of my time is going backward.
Sure.
So until we have the back accounting beginning balance right, I can't even move forward.
No.
So it's on my agenda. When we do the audit, that's what we do. And then I kind of, because we're starting 24-25, it will start reconciling.
You're exactly right. You're fixing the past, and you can't really spend time improving our process. You can't do process improvement while you're cleaning up the mess.
I still do process improvement, like the check writing process. I do still do that, but I have a lot of things that I write down on my board in my office that things that I have to do, it's on my list to do. If it's not, it's in my head. I know we need to do this. Mm-hmm. So travel and mileage, we kind of touch on that. A telecommunication, we're at 277% annual budget. It seems to be under budget again. 100% of this is AT&T wireless landline and some greenfield internet, thing. But I think when the budget was prepared last year in February, not all 8 months of invoices were inside. So when Mark projected it, it wasn't totally projected out how much will the expenses should be.
Right.
Accounting wasn't done right. All right. Any question before I move to G&A?
No.
Okay. All right, G&A, salary and wages was at 78%, which is below the target of 92. The GM, Director of Finance, AP, and HR, accounting technician were not fully staffed throughout the whole 11 months, resulting in lower personnel costs. But some of these positions, actually all of these positions were filled and by temporary position and sitting in consulting expenses. And in February, salary expenses increased due to retro payment of approximately $46,000 to the interim GM, which contributed to the February variances. And in the subsequent 3 months, we also have multiple of retro payment adjustment applied to unrepresented employee. These factors contributed to the increase in wage expenses observed in that few months. It's the retro payment for last year, and then the retro payment going forward, the adjusted rate. Benefit taxes and pension was at 49%, lower than the target. Again, I felt like benefits was over budgets. OPEB, now I pull out that OPEB, other post-employment benefit as a single line. It was budgeted at 249, but the actual is 464. So that's why we're 164% above. Community communications, we're at 425 annual budget. This consists primarily of charges for the monthly utility invoice and pipeline. A portion of these charges is for the postage and should be classified as such. In the last 3 months, $6.8K has been incurred for the Prop 218 and water moratorium meetings. So these are like newspaper and advertising.
Right, right.
I actually don't see the rental of the room. Where is it? So I'm going to go find it.
The rental of what room? I'm sorry.
The country club, I'm assuming.
Do we have a rental fee?
When we did the special meeting, they charged us $1,500. It's on your credit card.
I'll send it to you if it's on my credit card.
Okay.
Yeah,
Kind of sounds right.
Yeah, because they were rather contentious.
It could be all lumped into one number that I just didn't see.
Okay.
Repair and maintenance was at 393, consists of monthly cleaning, and we have a few deep cleaning sessions here, which is much needed for the AC and everything. And we have now monthly landscaping of, and also there's a demolition of safety center for $22K in the last 2 months, and e-waste recovery of $4.8K. So all those are not budgeted, I don't think so. Right, they're not budgeted.
Right.
Yeah, I don't think so. Utility, we talked about utility in the previous section. Legal fee was 276, consists of fee for legal matter involving FSA and developer activity. I still have to go through Patrick's invoices and go through all 12 months and reclass each invoices to non-operating activity for FSA and developer. So that's something that we'll do once we can catch up. Consulting fee was at 561% of annual budget. This line item consists of consulting and temporary staffing costs, including the interim replacement of me, AP, district secretary, which were originally budgeted in salary and wages. It's now sitting in consulting fee. I also incur about $16,000 for in Great Plains for accounting system problem, that when I was pushing in all the data, we were having a lot of problems. And we also added into fund processing, the fund accounting inside the system, bank reg, allocation module, fixed asset, you know, and financial statements all done by them. You know, I gave them the coding and they program it. So I think money well spent because we needed it. So HR recruitment was at 3,147%. HR to go and the $18,000 incurred for GM executive search, those were not a budgeted item. Travel and mileage, March included a retro payment of $14,000 for travel expenses from January to February 2026 for the interim general manager, not budgeted item as well.
We're doing what now?
So travel and mileage was at 451% of annual budget. Included in that line item is a March retro payment of $14,000 for travel expenses from January 2025 to February 2026 for interim general manager position. So So overall total expenses was at 97% over the target of 92%. The variance as of May, it's even though we're off by a little bit, the target should be 92. Our expenses are 97. The variance now is 545K. Operating results before the property tax revenue is a loss of 772. After the property tax, then we're it's an income of 193. So the non-operating expenses I already talked about. There's the donated infrastructure of 3.4 million, and also included, I've already reclassed a lot of water study fee from water system consulting by 100K down below to the non-operating section. So, any questions?
No.
So with that, let's go through the unaudited fiscal year 23 budgets versus actual. So the next slide. Oh, I have cash and investment.
So, this one?
Yes, please. Following the sequence. So, John, you said you want the prior balances, so I've gone back and give you the 2026 all the way to January, and then down below is the last year cash investment balances.
Okay.
So, so overall, the district's total cash and investment balance at the end of May 2026 was approximately $12 million. Actually, can you move to the other side so I can see? Yep, that one. So you should focus. I'm only talking about May 31st. June, I don't. At the time when I was preparing for this, June was not available. Usually with governmental class or CAM, they don't show up until like 5 or 6 days after the month end. So I don't have that when I was preparing for this. So again, the first May 31st, 2026, our ending balance is $12 million. And compared to $14.7 million a year ago. Can you move down a little bit? Yep. So that's the $14.7 million a year ago. And now, sorry, Diane, can you go up a little bit? Okay, we're gonna focus on that. The banner account, it's kind of like a unrestricted operating account, which all the checks cuts from this account. And the CAM and CLAS is considered restricted account because we put it aside. And as of May 2026, unrestricted fund, it's about 2.3 million. And while restricted fund, it's about 10.4 million. But, so from 14.7 to 12.7 million, the drop, the decrease in total balance, it's most likely all the capital improvement project that the these checks were cut inside Banner's account, but technically in other companies, they would do a transfer between restricted and unrestricted account and move the funding. I have not done that. And because I simply don't know what's the beginning balances for the unrestricted fund, so I'm holding for it. But once our accounting is mature, in my past, we after month end close, we move the money around between restricted and unrestricted. So now, using under the district's operating fund and reserve policy, the target reserve level should be sufficient. Should have sufficient cash to fund 6 months of district operating expenditure. Based on the May 2026 financial, the 6 months operating reserve is about $5 million. So on the side there, I've moved the adjusted balance from $5 million, leaving the unrestricted to be $7.7 million. So, and even after the transfer, the restricted balance of approximately $7.7 million would be low relative to the net asset of $24 million, and that number, I got it from the fiscal year 22 audits. And particularly even the ongoing cost of maintaining and replacing the capital infrastructure, it seems low to me, but I'm not the expert.
Yeah, it does to me too.
But I'm hoping that the RACE study and CIPP study will give me that, you know, goal. Additionally, you can see that the interest rate reported in 2026 in the last three line, It's hovering about 3.5%, but a year ago, if you move down, Diane, please, it was about 4.4%, a high 4%. So our interest rate has dropped too.
Yeah, which I suspect it's going back there, but probably take another 6 months.
Any question before I move to the next one?
No.
Don't sleep yet. I know it's boring. So keep going. So my next topic is here. We're going to go do a high-level review of the current audit, financial statement, budget versus actual, unaudited. Now, for this fiscal year financial, the information is presented herein primarily. It will be changed because I'm still in the middle of the audit. And I'm only showing this because I need the board approval for budget amendment for a property tax. I cannot book that adjustment unless you guys are okay with it. And I want it to be, I'm changing the budget, so I need to show you guys why the change. So again, it's unaudited. This financial, I'm gonna go through in a very high level format.
So does that board approval have to go on the July board meeting agenda? I need to know that.
It will be, yeah, it's
okay.
In my thing. So, you're preparing for board already?
Oh yeah, we have the agenda done.
Yeah.
So we'll add that. We'll work on that in a minute.
You guys can decide whether it's a consent or not because it's pretty straightforward. So I want to show you that our GP consultant our team actually have pushed the budget from the prior years into the new financial statement format. And you can see that there's now the 2023 financial, it's in this format now. And you can quickly, I want to do several highlights on the total revenue. It seems like the total operating revenue is 7.4, the first blue category, which is the total. Yeah, this is 7.4 million. The budget is 7.3. And we're at 101% of budget, which I felt like they're right on target. And this is the year that we don't have any rate increase. So so be mindful that the loss could be higher because of that. So, and if you go down a little bit where you can see the operating expenses, it's reported as 6.9 million expenses compared to a budget of 60846 million of budgets. And there's another blue line that I highlighted. Blue highlighted 1.5 million. This is the depreciation. And the depreciation is always not a budgeted factor. So it impact our expenses. Mm-hmm. In this. Now, if you can move down a little bit to the G&A expenses. Are you in a G&A? Okay. If you can actually go all the way down to the... Oh. Yep, where the highlighted are. Okay, so the G&A expenses, the total column is 3.2 compared to the budget of 2 million. And so this is the category that we have 158% of overage of the budgets. And as a result, the operating income, which I highlighted in a box, is 2.6 million loss. But remember, we have the depreciation, which I'll talk a little bit more about that. So this is the loss, and then I highlighted yellow line. If you can go to the side where the descriptions are, this is the property tax allocation. What I want to highlight is, let me go to my highlight. Give me a second. So so the property tax allocation is based on the budgets. And we have allocated about $461,000 to security, which leave us with a gain for that division for 448, and so it's not. And then we have a loss in water for 1.7 million. Diane, if you can kind of highlight the 1.7 million underwater, up there.
Underwater is underwater.
So we have a huge loss in water and wastewater, but we put a lot of our reserve property tax into security, which is not the right allocation.
Into security?
Into security, yeah. You can see that the...
Yeah, okay. So...
This number here?
Okay, so this, I mean, this kind of gets back to my last question. How did we pay for this loss of $1.7 million in water and wastewater?
It's probably from our operating reserve. That's why I'm asking for board approval to reallocate a property tax reserve. That's one. And whatever loss we've incurred because we didn't increase the budgets, it's going to be eating out from our higher reserve, if we have any. I don't know.
So, Cecilia, are we going to do this again next year?
When you said next year is fiscal year 26-27?
The fiscal year we just approved and raised everybody's rates for $100 a month. I mean,
I don't know. I can't answer that question until the actual result comes out. I don't know. But I think at that time when the budget was approved, this is the budget process that was approved. I don't know why it's giving $400K to security.
I don't either, because what... I'm, you know, my years for all this stuff get scrambled now.
I know.
Tell me again that this is 2022-23. Okay.
Right. Let me continue to give you more information to ask more questions, because I think that what are we doing in that year for budget? I have a slide, if you could move down a little bit more. One more. So, one more. So this is the approved budgets at that time. And it's done in a way that it shows what's the money coming in, so what's the money going out. The two big line is the total revenue and total expenses. And if you move down a little bit, it doesn't show you how much net income we're doing. Yeah. I had to actually convert it. And you see the last column, I have to reformat it. I have to pull it out and find out what's the net income and net loss, what we're doing. So that's the last column of me transferring the data. But if you move down a little bit, you can see that the allocation, administration allocation.
Administration.
I'm sorry. It's very small.
Okay.
Up there, there's a transfer allocation.
Right.
Did you see that, the allocation? I can't see that far. I think it's one more up, right? There's an administration allocation where the 775, where I highlighted, down below is the allocation. And you can see that the allocation for security is 414. And that's the percentage that we use in our current financial to allocate it based on that. I don't really know the reasoning behind it. I would think that at that time they balanced the budget and they thought that.
So what I'm trying to understand is that if you took that allocation and you added it to the total security tax revenue, that's what it costs to run security for that year, and we put the brakes on this at some point where we said we're not going to do it anymore.
That was after the first grand jury report. And that year, so the board put $50,000 into security, and that was the last time that security had an influx of money from any other source.
So where was, in terms of time, where was
so
that?
So this is the year before.
That's the year before. Okay.
Yeah. Right? Okay. Because we got the grand jury report in March of 2023, and this is what was done, you know, May, June of 2022.
Yes, the budget was passed in 22 for the year of 23. So if the grand jury report comes out in March, It would not.
Of 23, yeah.
But the problem is, right now, if you look at, if you go back to up one more slide.
But the problem.
One more slide up. One more. One more, sorry. And if you can move down to the highlighted section, you can see that our security loss is about 12K, which is the box number right next to it.
Yeah.
So you can see that the loss, you can see that the loss is 12K for security. That's the column for security, but we're adding 400K to
yeah,
that.
Yeah, no. So
pie.
you're
it doesn't
you're,
make
you're,
sense.
You're bailing it out with a property tax allocation.
Well, the thing is, security
it's only
should be
$12,000 in the hole.
Yeah, I know. I know. But
400.
Yeah, we got it to 12,000 by giving it 450,000 bucks.
But the 400K was done based on the budgets. The budget we all know now it's totally different from this. So I cannot put 400K and give it to the security because the measure K or J, forgot which one, J, is supposed to cover the operating expenses and not using our operating reserve. Oh. So this doesn't make sense to add another 400K in their reserve fund
yeah,
balance.
Yeah, but here's where all of that got left. Correct
right.
me if I'm,
okay.
I'm wrong. The grand jury said, oh, you should not do this.
Okay, correct.
It was a recommendation.
In March of 2023.
Right.
When we were just starting to work on the 23-24 budget.
Right. So for us to leave this as it is, okay, and balancing is it within $12,000, balancing it with property tax revenue is even today is still legal to do. It's unrestricted
mm-hmm.
funds.
Yes.
We can do that. We're not saying we should. Or you know, or we will do it in the future, and we did stop the next year.
Right, we only put 50,000.
I was just trying to reconcile the years in my head. They're all running together anymore. So,
right.
So I see no reason in this audit that you have to change that number.
Because it's a fact. It's not. I mean, this is what happened. We took the money from the unrestricted property tax revenues. And we put it into security to fully fund security.
But from a financial standpoint, you have a loss of $1.7 million in water, and you need to recover from the reserve, but you put it into a security that don't need it.
Yeah, but either way, well, I guess you're making a presentation that says, well, water was okay, but security was a nightmare, and it lost.
Water is not okay.
No, it's not. But I mean, if you give back the 461,000,
don't we have that loss in security?
Doesn't that loss balance and show up as a loss in security?
I mean, a loss is a loss. Back and cooking the books now doesn't.
We're not cooking the book.
No,
please
no,
don't
no,
use
no.
that.
No, but that loss. That loss is not going away.
It is true. It's not going away.
It's
but
just going to show up. It's going to show up in a different enterprise fund with security versus water.
Right, but it doesn't make sense to follow the adopted budget because I don't know what's the reasoning to it at that time. But if you look at the budget that is in this slide, we have an revenue showing and we have the expense showing.
Yeah.
1.6 million versus 1.4 million, but it's still not, it doesn't warrant the 400K to be allocated, a bigger percentage to be allocated to security. I don't know the reason when we have a loss for 1.7 million for water and wastewater.
But I guess then my next question would be to understand why we had the loss in water to begin with. Did they in their budget? And this is a Paula budget, is it not?
It's a Paula budget, yes, sir.
Okay, well then we know the numbers aren't right.
Well,
okay.
We also know that in that year the percentage, the Prop 218, was overturned, and so there's no rate increase. But our expenses were when we were pulling the budget that Paula prepared, we saw that there are a lot of numbers, just 6,000, 5,000, 400, and it decreased from the original to the to a smaller amount. So there's a lot of pluck number, because you can see from my budget, there's a lot of even number, and it should not. It's just a pluck number, I felt like.
Yeah.
I have no proof for it, but I felt like the budget was prepared because the Prop 218 was overturned. All the expenses that was proposed has to be significantly reduced, but they didn't reduce the security, the allocation percentage. So I felt like
Cecilia,
that doesn't make sense.
Once, I don't know if this is relevant, but once Mimi and Mark came along, they went back and changed the allocations. Remember, John?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. So that was supposed to shore up the, how much money was going into. And I know that they made that reversed for 20, whatever year Mark
two,
did.
Two
the,
different things. They,
two different things. Okay.
Yeah, they did the IRC allocation.
Okay.
Which is to allocate G&A expenses to the different fund.
Oh, okay. And this is
and
this
is
just
the budget
proper
approval. Yeah, this is, I cannot change the budget adopted back then. That it shows that 400K was allocated to security, which now, again, if you do the 400K to the security, then that fund has 400K richer, which our operating reserve technically is supposed to be the property tax. We have never really followed that, right? So
actually, that's, you know, I guess in, you know, in theory, that might have been an understatement. No, it wasn't. Put it this way. We allocated property tax to security beginning
before I got here.
Many years before this, we got to this point. We did it. And we understood that we did it, and we were funding a security department that was staffed and with both, operational overhead and actual security, sergeants and chiefs and everything
uh-huh.
else, at a much higher level. We just did it because it was the way we boards in that period approved budgets that let that happen, and this is really the end of that.
This is the last time that that happened.
Yeah.
And the next year we'll find $50,000.
My next question to understand is show me what did they budget for water and why are we $1 million low? I mean, where is that? Show me.
The budget for water?
You said we have to allocate the 461,000 back to water because water is so far underwater, to say it.
Show me means the, I guess one more slide down. Is that the screen that
yeah,
you want to
see? Yeah, 0.7 million.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, okay, we can improve that by 461,000 by moving column A to column B to column D to column A or whatever you want to call it.
Sure.
But we're still showing then we had an operating loss of
1.3 million
in water operations. But now what I'm asking is back to Paula's budget, what did she show was going to happen? She showed that security was going to get a subsidy from property tax allocation.
Yeah, so
what'd
she
say about water? What was
so
the...
She, you can go back to this slide here.
Yeah, go
can.
There for
Kay.
A minute.
And, that one. So the first number...
Oh, here's water.
Water for revenue is 2.9 million. Mm-hmm. You can see my type number in reformat at 2.9 million.
Got it. I see it.
And water was... if I go back to the actual, it is 2.9 million. So the budget was done really good for revenue. And then for the expenses, it's a little bit over 2 million.
2076.
2076.
Okay.
And that's what they anticipated, what they forecasted would be spent.
So according to what we're looking at the number
it's
here,
4.7
we spent
million.
Three something?
It's so the expenses for her, it's $2 million, but we actually spent $4.7 million.
Oh, fuck. So what happened that year that we...
Jesus
Christ. Well, but wait. So the $4.7 million also included depreciation for water, which is never budgeted.
All right.
So you need to take that out, and that's about $900K, maybe?
There's
you take that out, that's 3.9 million. I wish I have a calculator now. But in that year, I'm not doing a deep dive on each category, but there must be stuff that we spend, repair, maintenance, chemical, higher.
There has to be some heavy...
Yeah, you can go back to...
CIP money in...
No, CIP is not in here. CIP is not in here. But then, I can point out to you all the categories that it's over if you can go back to the first page of the operation right here. If you go down, so if you shrink it a little bit, all the percentage on the far, on the last column that it's higher, will show you why we're over. And just on chemical, which is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, the fifth line of chemical, we're at 272. And we spent 182 in chemical, but the budget was 67,000 even.
Well, there's a chunk.
There's the 60. I see a lot of those even number, which is, kind of weird for me. Mm-hmm. It's a pluck because you build up your invoices.
Yeah, I'm willing to do what's right here.
So, can you go down one more page? I want to make sure that I understand. Down to that yellow highlighted. So then, this is our revenue. But we were four.
Which one is your revenue?
The 461? Yeah.
It's the property tax allocation, yes.
So is this saying that we were $448,000 above what it cost? Oh, so you just...
We're giving money to them when the loss is only $19,000.
I got it.
But we're not allocating... For some reason, we're not allocating anything to our main utility.
What we need.
Yeah, and
so
then...
Number over to here, then this will result in a negative 19,000.
Which is fine, because we don't.
I get it.
There's book loss in there too, meaning depreciation and accrual that really doesn't. $12,000 is not a big number of.
No, I get that. I'm not worried about $12,000.
So then for this number, why don't we move this number over here too, and then we'll still have.
We're not there yet. I have proposed a calculation down in my consent, but I just want to address this and go, this doesn't make sense to me that when water utility is running a loss, we gave the money to security.
That has this giant bank account still left at the end of the year.
Basically,
okay,
if we do
now
that.
I understand.
But we're not covering the loss that we have. An operating reserve, it's supposed to keep... aside for use, but because of the loss here, we do have to use it, right? We have to use it, but we're not covering the loss from the utility, but we're covering security that don't really need it.
Okay.
So
got it.
And I have and this is only to show you the financial. My adoption of a budget, it's later on in my two other agenda, which I'll go through in a little bit more detail.
Yeah.
We don't need to vote on anything until I get to that slide.
Okay.
Yeah, this is just to show you what I'm seeing.
But I'm going to, by 11:30, I got to get out of here.
Okay. So
And it's okay then with the auditor for us to go back and move that money into a different...
It's okay because this is an adopted budget. I cannot just book a journal entry. You guys have to say, okay. I can book it. And actually, today, once you guys say yes, I'm booking it because I have to give them the final financial statement today and tomorrow.
Okay.
So that's kind of like, why don't we not do 24 and go directly into 23 for the request for approval so you can see my logic there.
Okay.
Yes.
And what page does that start on?
And I don't have a page there, but it's right here.
33.
So this is a request for approval of amendment to the adopted budget for property tax allocation only, not the not the whole entire budget, but only for the property tax allocation. So if you can go to the next page, Diane, please. So my proposed action is staff request Board Finance Committee approval to amend the fiscal year 23 adopted budget for property tax allocation by redirecting fund to cover operating losses exclusively to water, wastewater, and solid waste fund. Now, the background is in fiscal year 23, adopted budget shows a property tax budget of 775, which is, if you go down a little bit, please. That's the highlighted budgeted adopted at that time. And the 775 is then allocated to the down below all the other allocation. And the budget allocated is for security, 414,000, and drainage to 89,000. Now, if you go down one more page, Diane, please. The unaudited statement of revenue and expenditure for fiscal year 23 is presented below. This is fiscal year 23 in a higher level, and I show you all the losses from different fund. And at that time, you can tell that same thing that I discussed earlier, 400K, it's added to security when I think that it should be covering other losses. And if you can go down a little bit. So the property tax reserve should not be allocated to security fund, as doing so results in a significant and unintended increase in the security fund balance. Measure K revenue are intended to fund security operation and should remain the primary source for that expenditure.
Measure J.
I change that. So, and the property tax should be reallocated based on the operating loss ratio of water, wastewater, and solid waste fund. The final allocation amount will be determined based on the audit financial statement. However, the allocation methodology will be driven by each fund's proportionate operating loss. That's my proposal. I'm totally open to change to whatever amount you guys want to cover the loss, but I think putting the heavy allocation to security does not make sense to me.
No, it just.
I agree.
Yeah, it's inflated by $450,000.
Right. The adjustment is required to finalize the fiscal year 23 audit. However, I cannot book that adjustment until I have approval from you guys because it's an adopted budget. So my conclusion is staff recommended that the Board Finance Committee approve an amendment to the adopted 23 budgets to revise the property tax allocation percentage. The proposed amendment reallocate property tax revenue to cover operating loss incurred in those three funds. Okay.
And the I understand the explanation,
yeah.
But we have no way at this point to understand how they wound up with the 461,000.
I tried to look at the, any notes. I can't find any.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So let me go back to understanding about the water income loss. Part of that was because of depreciation on water infrastructure that hadn't previously been booked, so this year had to absorb all that. Is that
not previously booked? When we do a budget, we never put the depreciation as part of the expenses. So when you have to really look at how come they didn't, but you know, what's the actual operating loss budget versus actual, you have to take that out from the actual.
Yeah.
It's a book basis, accrual basis financial.
So you said there was like $900,000. Is that represented in the 1.7 million?
What are you pointing to?
Is that the water $1.7 million operating?
Yes, it's included in that. I actually did not go through one of the slides that I intended to do in fiscal year 23. If you can go back to that. Keep going up. Okay, here. So to help you guys understand what Amelia just asked me, and I didn't do it by fund. I did it as a whole. If you look at the operating income of the is this fiscal year 24? Oh, no. Can you go to fiscal year 23, please? This page.
So
and if you can enlarge the numbers.
Page 23.
And move it down. Okay. Remember we talked about that 2.5, is it 6 or 4?
6.
6 million of loss, operation loss. We're not talking about the overall. You have to deduct the depreciation to arrive to compare to the budgets. And once you deduct that, then we're at 1.13 million loss. And compared to the operation loss of 741, which is a loss, I don't know why when they prepare the budget it's a loss, because your operating income is supposed to cover the expenses.
Yeah, you're not really basically allowed.
But we knew we were going to have a loss that year because this was the year that Prop 218 was overturned.
Yeah. No. The 741 is the budgeted. When the budget goes in, it already have the unintended loss in there. So I don't really know. But I think this is me looking at our financial. I always pull out operation and non-operation, but when they previously budget, they lump everything together. And I think that our rate should be covering the operating loss. The non-operating, like developer, and reserve, those are not operation. So the resident should not be paying for developer fee, developer costs. So that's how I see it. This 741, it's prepared with no distinction between operation costs and non-operating costs. So I think that's why they're looking as a whole, that hey, property tax can cover the 741, we're good. But the operating loss per the budget is 741, and compared to our actual loss in the income statement is 1.1, we're about 391,000 discrepancy. But that still, your operating loss is still 1.13 million. And I talked about the problem is chemical costs. I just showed in the financial, it's 276, percentage. I'm not looking at a number, but there's several areas that are already overblown. And that's why we're at that 1.13 million.
So when you do the next balance sheet, you're essentially starting with a loss then.
Next balance sheets?
In other words, on that statement there, you're showing that we're actually, I don't know what if it nets down to 391, is that your opening? Essentially opening balance?
No, that 391 is just comparing to our actual loss versus the budgeted loss.
Okay.
So the budget says your loss would be 741 for just the operation, taking away all those developer fee, water augmentation fee and all those. But our operating loss actually in reality is 1.13. So it's higher than what we anticipated. And this is the one that we didn't have any Prop 218, no increase at all.
Yeah.
So the loss is expected.
I'm just looking at waving those numbers at somebody who's considering lending us money or not.
Lending us money?
Well, in other words, we're going to have to show balance sheets to
potential
some lender somewhere,
bonds
or
banks
grants
or whoever.
Or loans, where that's my concern, but
okay, so
it is what it is. I mean, can't.
Do we have time to go through fiscal year 24, or we can jump into the budget approval process for 24 so that you guys can take a look at a higher level?
Yeah, I think we've got about 10 minutes left, Cecilia.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think it's crucial that we go through the amendment approval to amend for fiscal year 24.
So when you
look at go down the last two pages, probably. This is 23.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that one. Is it this one? This is it 24? So I'm going to skip the proposed action is because it's the same.
Okay.
So in here, I highlighted the budgets for 23-24, and the highlighted amounts are the allocation for the property tax, which is 800 something, I don't remember the detail, 881. So they allocated to capital reserve and water and wastewater. But I want to highlight something that in this budget here, if you go up a little bit, the budget was prepared based on the amount of revenue coming in minus the amount of expenses that we will be using. So you can't really tell what's the net income, net loss. You can't really do that. And I had in my previous schedule reformat everything so that I would come up with the operating loss, because the expenses must have included non-operating expenses too. So all in all, this is the budget. This is the property tax allocation mm-hmm. adopted. And if you go to the next page.
And this is where we, where the budget itself said that we were going to allocate $50,000 to security.
Yep. Yes. And so if you move down to
and
the
so
box.
So Mimi had just started. She was here for 1 minute. So this was largely prepared by Susan Wren and Paula.
So Poon Group, you mean?
No, Susan Wren was that independent. She'd been finance officer for finance director or something for City of Sacramento, and she was a retired annuitant that joined us for a few months.
Okay, so if you look at the financial for fiscal year 23 and the operating income and loss, it's the line above all the highlighted yellow. So you can see the losses in each of the fund.
Okay.
And security, it's 191 loss. I don't even know why, but you know, again, we are allocating $50,000 per the budgets to security
because that's what the board instructed staff to do.
I get it. And then 470 and 300, it's the highlighted numbers are per the budgets. I allocate it based on the same percentage, not the same amount as the budget, but whatever we actually receive, I allocate it using the same. So, and if you go to the next page, so I'm proposing that we should allocate the property tax to the three utility funds and using the operating loss ratio is the same thing. Again, I'm open for discussion. Tell me what you guys are proposing. 191, that's a... for the security, it's a lot of losses.
But the board was expecting that because they didn't reduce staff at that time.
Yes.
You mean the security?
Yeah, they didn't reduce the security staff. We didn't reduce the expenses in security, but we reduced that allocation. So that makes sense. Actually, we did reduce staff because we reduced the chief, right? So we got rid of that $175,000 salary and benefits there. And then they also changed the security sergeant down to, the security supervisor down to a
security
sergeant.
Sergeant.
Yeah. So they eliminated one position and downgraded one position.
So go back there. Go keep going right to stop. Okay, hold on a minute. Okay. Where she says use of resources.
Use of resources.
Mm-hmm.
Got it.
We show, basically we're showing a minimal loss there. To revenue, 10,970 to 11,262,
mm-hmm.
and then when we transfer in capital reserves to water from admin to wastewater from admin, okay, and then we transfer out. Go to the bottom line now.
Mm-hmm.
Stop. Okay. So what are we saying? What are we saying is the net of all that? You've got revenue, you got costs, you got transfers in, you got transfers out. What's the bottom line number?
So I have prepared this in one of the slices to convert that because I couldn't tell what everything is. What is the net here? If you can go back to that slide. I have to say that format was very confusing and took me a couple days to convert that because I don't understand what is this. And let's divert all the way to, let's move to the final column of this. It's very confusing. So first of all, the reformat, revised reformat one shows, if I have to revise it, 8.3 million is the revenue, which is the first one.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Diane. And then the 9.2 million is the expenses. And so the operating income and loss is about 854,000 with a negative. And adding back the property tax of 818, we're at negative 36739.
That's not bad.
And then if you go down a little bit, I'm including all this because my auditor is going to want to look at, this is your adopted budget, how come you give me a budget versus actual that looks like this? So this is for them to understand it and for my documentation too. And then there's right underneath that, right before that big circle, there's 896, that's the reserve contribution from all kind, replacement and, you know, improvement, water augmentation, that's their budgets. And then developer fee, they budget for 544, and then debt service fund is 196. So all in all, when it's the final, it's 1.6 million there. And
1.6 million of loss
of income.
The
income solely is from the reserve contribution, developer fee, and debt service fee. The above, you know, above that big red circle above, you can see the 36K negative. That's our operating.
Okay.
That they did kind of balance the budgets, but it's, you know, the step that we got to get there took us weeks to find out why they did the budget that way, because you can't really tell, you know, what's the end result for this.
Yeah.
And
I don't know. What happened to EBITDA?
Huh?
What happened? I mean, I used to be able to look at numbers and I go, EBITDA, you know, I'm getting my earnings before depreciation.
Oh, EBITDA. And earning
tax.
Before income tax and depreciation.
And okay.
Yeah, and that's the same thing. I go to that way and I go, what exactly is this going on? So I have to convert, plow through a lot of like numbers from his schedule to get to the last column. It doesn't make sense to me, honestly, but you know, I did my best to come up with the budgets.
I don't think it made any sense to anybody when they were presenting it either. Well, we were like, huh? I remember the board being like, huh?
Yeah. So
I was.
So okay. So what exactly are you? What do we need to do here?
So if you go back to the last page where my request for approval, since we have to.
Okay.
Which.
It's to reallocate.
The last page of the document you talked about.
No. Yes.
Which PDF page is that, Diane?
39.
39.
39.
39 of 39.
Oh, you're in 23. Let's go to 24.
This is 24, 39.
Okay, this page. Is this 24? Yeah. So my request is on the next page. If you can go that, go next page. Next, you're going up, going down. Go down one more time. My request is to allocate the property tax to cover the utility funds, which are water, wastewater, and solid waste. But again, I'm open for you to tell me that to cover some of the security loss too. Just let me know what it is so I can book it today and get on with the audits.
No, I think maybe then we just do that. We're just moving it across from one column to another where, I mean, if we're trying to evaluate true ongoing profit and loss, it's going to be in water and wastewater. Solid waste is just what it is. It's just a pass-through.
Yeah. It doesn't fluctuate.
So,
really.
It's funny, though. I know in 22 to 23, they anticipated a $100,000 loss in just solid waste because our fees from Cal Waste went up, but we couldn't recoup those from, we were able to recoup the taxes because those aren't Prop 218, you know, tied to Prop 218, but we couldn't recoup that money that we lost to Cal Waste because their rates to us went up.
Mm-hmm. And so we have to go through the 218 process to raise the rates for solid waste to...
That is true.
And they didn't give it, and so our contracts should be written so that we have ample time before they raise the rates, right?
Well, we're in a 10, we're like year three into a 10-year contract right now.
And it was, if I remember too, right, it was something to do with, it was an arbitrary adjustment to cover changes in state law.
Yeah, probably 1383.
Yeah.
Okay, so then let me get direction before you go. Does the committee recommend that we take these changes to the board, put it on consent calendar for the reallocation of these funds for fiscal year 23-24?
Yeah, only when you make that presentation to the board, it's got to be, you got to look at it and make sure that we can reduce this
to 10 minutes.
To the simplest possible level.
Do you need him to say
yes? Say yes, Bill.
Yes.
And
okay, but this is going on the consent calendar.
No, I'm understanding we don't want this on consent calendar. We want this to be a pulled out item that we can have a very brief presentation on.
Can we put it on consent and then if somebody wants to pull, they can, just like with improvements and just spending $1 million? So we're going to take Wednesday's meeting and put it at the beginning of Tuesday's meeting? Is that right?
At the end of Tuesday's meeting.
Oh, it's always better.
Yeah, it's better because then I can have public input. I won't have those guys. And it'll coincide really closely with the meeting starting at 4 o'clock, closed session. Talk about the closed session items we have to talk about with Patrick. He'll be here. Start the regular meeting at 5 p.m. and have a short meeting, which is my next question because we are hoping for a short meeting. Do you want a full security report, Cecilia report, Amelia? I mean...
No, but so you got to... If Jenko has something on he wants to say on Water Vision, what are you going to do?
I'm going to let him say it. I mean, obviously.
All right, so...
He can say it under a comment, but it's not an agenda item, right?
He can say it under director comments, but it won't be... I haven't received direction that it'll be an agenda item.
And, yeah.
Okay.
But does... What is he... Do they have anything to report?
No, they do not, which is why we took it off the agenda, because neither Jim nor Randy's crew had anything substantive to report. And they were trying to blame Diane, and frankly, I mean, I want to talk to you two about it separately. You guys should not be doing work for them. They're a separate committee. That's why they wanted their separate deal, so give them their separate deal.
Well, and I understand that Diane emailed each of them and asked for any input and received none.
Well, and she went above and beyond just doing that. She's not their staff. Neither is Travis.
Well, I think it was at that time... It was at the board meeting, right, or whatever, and it was, you know, what are you responsible for, what are you not, we didn't tell you to do that, blah, blah, blah. So then it was, you know,
so they wanted
trying
us,
to figure
they
out
wanted us to make
what they were exactly asked to do.
Okay.
That's fair.
So that won't be on the agenda, this will be on consent. Item. If directors want to talk about whatever they want to talk about in director comment, they can write just like public comment.
But then everybody's reports will still have the reports on there, but it can just be if y'all want to read it or not. Is that how you want to do that? We don't have to go through the reports, right? But we can still have them attached.
No, you should. There should be the reports that are there.
Yeah.
That we talk our way through, we just don't talk our way through them.
We'll just say it's in there. Does anybody have any questions?
If you have any questions, we can address them.
Okay.
If they have a report, I mean, we have an ad hoc committee. If we have a written report, it'll be in there. If they have a Water Vision report, it'll be in there.
Okay, but their Water Vision.
We don't have a report.
We don't, but their Water Vision reports come to improvements first.
Right? Absolutely.
We don't have any, but that's the flow.
Right.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you. And is the meeting adjourned, sir?
Meeting's adjourned.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Sorry.